Good morning, everyone. You guys made it, even with the craziness of the trains and the roadblocks. We are here, amen? Thank you for being here with us today. It is great to be together. And Hannah and I, just before we even get into the message, we just want to just share how much we are just so grateful for this ministry. We are so grateful for this family of believers. This ministry has been such a blessing to our life, to our walk with God, and so we just want to give it up for you guys. You can give it up for yourself to be such a light and such a light to the city, to your campuses, to the friends in your life. We're just so grateful for you guys and to be in life together. You guys can be turning in your Bibles over to Acts chapter 20. We're going to be starting there in verse 13 in just a moment. You know, the title of our sermon today, you guys ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're ready for this. Is One Life, Make It Count.
All right.
One life, make it count. Because if there's anything that all of us in this room have in common, it's that we all have one life that God is letting us decide what we're going to do with it.
Yeah, it's true.
He's leaving it up to us when it comes to what we will live for, what we will stand for, what we will spend our time doing while here on earth, and what we will decide to be known for.
Yeah.
Some of the main questions we're going to address today are these on the screen right here. What gives life meaning? And how can we make the most of this life? You guys want to talk about that today?
Yeah.
So just to summarize a little bit of what happens at the beginning, or towards the beginning and middle of Acts chapter 20. So in this chapter, Paul is currently in Ephesus, but is eager to go to Jerusalem to be there for the Jewish festival of Pentecost. You guys remember Pentecost from Acts chapter 2, right?
Yeah.
So that's happened again. He wants to be back there. But we see a very emotional goodbye in this chapter, as Paul knows he's probably never going to see these disciples again in Ephesus that he spent time with. And these Christians have truly become family to him, but he makes it clear to them what he did while he was there with them. But he also makes it clear to them, here's why I'm headed to Jerusalem. And so we're going to see him talk about that here, starting in verse 17. Let's read here together. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. And in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents." Verse 20. "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." We'll stop there. So Paul's telling these Christians, he's saying, "Hey, you know me. You know my love for you. You know I didn't hold back to give you the truths of God while I spent time with you." And he says, I love this, he says, "I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears, even in the midst of severe testing." Isn't that inspiring, guys? Paul's example. He's saying, "I serve the Lord," but not in a showboating kind of way. "Hey, look at Paul." He said, "No, I did this with great humility and even with tears." Don't you want that to be said about your life? That was not really clear. Don't you want it to be said about your life that you serve the Lord?
Yes.
With great humility?
Yes.
And maybe even with some tears. Yeah. Because you care about it. And we're all going to face some hardships just like Paul did. Mm-hmm. Even when times of testing came, Paul didn't let it stop him from serving God with great humility. Mm-hmm. You know, the first step in making the most of this life is deciding to pursue humility. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Who wants to grow in their humility in 2023? I know I do.
Amen.
Is it easy to be humble, guys?
No,
it is not. True humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. That's true humility. It's putting God, His Word, and the needs of others before yourself. True humility it's not being insecure and staying quiet and letting others serve, letting others be a light, or letting others make an impact for God. No, true humility, it actually takes humility to serve God. It actually takes humility to step out on faith and to be a light and to be okay with that sometimes being the center of attention. But you're not doing it for people to lift up your name. You're doing it because you want people to lift up God's name. Right? But I'll say that again. True humility, it isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Meaning, I'm trying to think about, what do other people need? Not, what do I need? What are my wants? What are my desires? How can I get what I want all the time? You know, a life of impact is marked by a life of humility. And Paul embodied this as we read throughout the New Testament. Paul had to be humbled by Jesus, right? We know the story. As Paul is on the road to Damascus, what happens? Paul gets blinded by this bright light, and little does he know Jesus is coming to him. And this is kind of Paul's humbling moment. And so he has to kind of be escorted, now that he's blind, all the way to the city. And then days later, these kind of scales fall from his eyes, and he's finally able to see from Ananias what God is calling him to do. Paul had to be humbled before he could actually really pursue humility. And sometimes for us, God is trying to humble us, but not to get us down, but to actually use us, to actually soften our hearts. You know, as DeAndre so powerfully mentioned earlier in that scripture in Philippians 2, Jesus humbled himself so that we could humble ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus didn't just do that to say, hey, look at me, I'm awesome. He said, no, follow my example. If God, the deity of God in the flesh, came down and died the death of a criminal, who are we as sinners, as imperfect people, not to humble ourselves?
Yeah.
If God was so willing to do that, who are we to put ourselves on a pedestal when the creator of everything died the death that he didn't deserve? So again, if you want to live a life of impact, a life that changes the world around you, we must be willing to humble ourselves and humbly serve the Lord, like Paul talks about here. What does this look like? It means you got to be willing to be corrected, to be willing to be wrong about things you feel are right, to care more about preaching and knowing the truth care more about that than just doing what the world is doing, or even what the religious world says you should do. You got to care more about following the truth of Scripture than just the tide and the different things that the world throws at us.
Come on, Mark.
You know, if we want to live a life of humility, we have to be willing to humbly serve others in our community, serve our family. Sometimes that's messy. Sometimes that's not fun. But also, it takes humility to tell people what they need to hear. You know, in verse 20, Paul says, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. But do we hesitate when we know we need to speak up for truth, maybe even to someone we're really close to, but we're too scared to speak the truth in love. It takes humility to lower ourselves, to lower what someone will think about us, and to persevere and say, you know what? I am going to speak the truth in love. I'm not going to hesitate to share the truth of Scripture with someone, because everyone needs to know who Jesus is. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Everyone needs to know who this King is that humbled himself. Our pride stops us from being helpful to God and to others. And our pride sometimes can even stop us from being saved.
Okay.
Pride is not helpful. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Pride is not helpful to our world. It's not helpful to the church. It's not helpful to any situation. You know, the Bible actually says in James 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives favor to the humble. Do you want God to oppose you?
No.
If there's a list of people that I don't want to oppose me, God is number one on that list.
Yeah.
Okay, no offense to all of you, you know, but I don't want God to oppose me. I want to be with him. Humility is letting the Scriptures have the final say, even when your feelings are going against them.
Yeah.
Again, like I said before, humility is being willing to be corrected by Scriptures that you know are leading you to salvation and leading you to a better walk with God. Sometimes humility is just going out of the way to ask a question. Rather than assuming something from someone or assuming something about the Bible, ask a question. Be curious. Be a learner. So I just want to ask you this morning, in what ways are you being prideful? Maybe ask someone close to you in your life that you feel close to. Ask them, hey, where do you see my pride coming out? In our friendship, in my Christianity, in my journey with God, where do you see my pride coming out? How can I more humbly serve God? And so again, the first step in making your life count is deciding to humbly serve God, to pursue humility at all costs, even if it means admitting you're wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's move on here to verse 23. Paul says, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Now pay attention to this verse here. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Here's verse 24 in the NLT, the New Living Translation. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
This is an awesome scripture. This is what Hannah and I call our life scripture. We want these words of scripture to define the way we live our life here on earth. You know, I write this scripture out in the beginning of all of my journals, my kind of quiet time journals, because I need to write it out every time just to remind me of, why am I here? What am I doing? This scripture is very dear to our hearts. It's actually engraved in my wedding ring on the inner side,
hey,
so you can't see it,
okay. But
I know it's there. And I just want to share a little bit of the backstory behind why that's even on my ring, behind why is this even our life scripture for Hannah and I. So can I share about that a little bit this morning?
Yeah.
Does that sound good? So this scripture first struck me while I was in college, like you guys, and I'm pretty sure it was my freshman year. I'd been a Christian for a little over 4 years, and I was seeing a need in my relationship with God to kind of rediscover his love, to reconnect with his grace. You ever feel like you're just going through the motions with your walk with God? It doesn't feel good, right? So I was kind of in that place my freshman year, just feeling like I just need to reconnect with God's love, with his grace. And so my mom recommended this book to me called Strong in the Grace by Tom Jones. And this book heavily impacted my life. I highly recommend it to anyone. Someone still has my copy. I need that back. I don't know if it's anyone in this room. Might be someone from New Jersey campus. I'm going to start texting people. But it was at that time in college, as I was reading that book, as I was trying to just dive into the scriptures, reconnect with God's love, that the scriptures reminded me of the love that God always had for me. God didn't move. But I needed to be proven to by Jesus and by his example, that I was loved before I ever loved him. Mm-hmm. That I was loved before I ever decided to try to love him back.
Yeah.
Paul says here in verse 4 that he wanted to tell others about God's wonderful grace. But for me, again, grace was losing its wonder. The love of God was losing its wonder in my life. And I feel like, man, I need to get reconnected to this. One of the scriptures that helped me with this is in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. And I love this because, you know, we're reading about Paul here in Acts 20. And this is Paul writing this to Timothy. So he says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done. You heard that? Not because of anything we have done. Not because Shay is so good at bass and he has his quiet time every day, right? Not because Caleb's so good at coming up here and welcome everyone. No, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Amen?
Amen.
But check this out. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Why did this help me so much? What sunk in for me? Because I was kind of living some performance Christianity. If I had a great day, I felt like I'm loved by God. I prayed today. Maybe I invited someone to a Bible discussion on my campus. And those are all great things that we should be doing. But I was doing things to feel better that God loved me. Rather than seeing what this scripture says, which is before the beginning of time, before I was born, before any of us were born, before earth was made, this grace was given. God has loved us from the beginning. And it started to really sink in that this unconditional love was not only what I was searching for as a freshman, but I started to realize, man, this is what everyone on my campus is looking for. And people are looking for this love in all the wrong places. You ever look for love in the wrong place? Yeah. You ever look for God's love, but you're looking for it in a place that you know you can't get it? Yeah. And so it started to sink in, man, this is truly the missing piece. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. Relationships, approval, a career, success, money, drugs, sex, travel, all these things. The gospel is this message that everyone is looking for, but doesn't know they need yet. The love of God is something that everyone is searching for, but maybe hasn't connected the dots yet that they need it. That it's this kind of love that before we've done anything, that God took the first step. That before we did anything good or bad, God said, I love you.
Come on, Mark.
That is a love that you will not find in this world. You will never find this kind of love. You see, the thing about grace is you need to get it before you desire to give it.
Yeah.
You need to get it, meaning I'm receiving, I'm understanding this love, amen, before you want to go give it to others.
Yeah.
And tell other people about it. Wow. You know, as humans, we tend to want to tell other people about things that have already captured our hearts. Mm-hmm. Right? What has captured my heart in the month of March is March Madness basketball. If you've talked to me at any point this past week, I've probably annoyed you by telling you some stats and telling you what I'm excited about. You know, Adrian and I, we were pulling for Iona in the first round going against UConn. We were texting, and they lost. But that team captured our hearts, and I know you all relate. Thank you very much. But no, things that we're excited about. You know, I'll just list some things here. It could be sports. It could be your favorite team. Or it could be fashion. Yep. It could be finding the best deals. You get excited about that. Discounts. Yes. Maybe you're passionate about food and the best food spots in New York City. Yeah. Those are things you're like, hey, I want to tell other people about that. It could be anything, but we want to let others know about something we're already connected to. We're already captured by and excited about. And it's the same with understanding God's grace. If it hasn't captured you, if it hasn't left you in wonder, if it hasn't left you in awe, then the odds are you're not going to want to go tell people about it. And you know, we sing that song. I love that song. I mean, we shout it out. Can't keep it to myself, right? Mm-hmm. But are you keeping it to yourself?
Mm-hmm. That's real.
We know God loves us, but again, sometimes we get disconnected to the magnitude of this love, and that's something we have to pass on. But really what I'm trying to say here is you have to know it before you want to give it. Paul says this here in 2 Corinthians 5:11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. But notice the order there. Since we know what it means to fear the Lord could also mean being in awe of God, knowing who He is, having respect and reverence for Him. Since we know God, we try to persuade others. But it's always that order. And so for you, how's it going with this? Do you know the grace of God this morning? Do you really know His love? You know, maybe at one point you were connected to, but right now in your life, are you moved by the cross? Are you moved by the love of God? Is this something that is capturing you currently in your life as well? Hannah's going to come up and share more about this idea here.
Feels like he doesn't need a microphone, but I kind of do. So
hopefully
I can be loud enough for you guys. But a defining moment in my life when I was reconnecting with God's grace was more of a moment where I needed to see my need for grace. Going into my senior year of college, I just felt like I kept messing up. I felt like I was losing sight of my personal why. And I had this feeling of like, I know people should be Christians, like I kind of just was telling myself that, but I was lacking motivation or the words to be able to express why Jesus was what people needed, and I felt stuck. It was hard because then I was even asking myself the question, like, is Jesus really what I believe people need? Mm-hmm. And is Jesus what I believe I need? Mm-hmm. And sitting with that question kind of rocked my world a little bit. It got real for me because I'd been a Christian for almost 6 years at that point, and I'd never really questioned my faith to the extent that I was at that moment. And I would sit with these questions, and I was, for the most part, in a place where I would get to the answer of yes. Jesus is what I believe I need and what I believe others need. And I didn't want to go look for anything else, but there was still a disconnect. And I believe it was my disconnect with God's grace that led me to that place. I was so stuck in this frustration of having sin in my life and feeling like I kept failing God, and my heart was being hardened, and I was in a need of understanding God's grace. So through conversations with people and getting the sin in my life into the light, it opened up the door for God to really help me to grow in my understanding of His grace. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, where Paul speaks about God's grace, really stuck with me from this time in my life. It says, "But He said to me," God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." And realizing and coming to terms with God's grace not being dependent on me and my performance was so important. Because of scriptures like this, I was not only able to connect better with God's grace for myself, but I became more eager to share with others. I remember there were times, there's this one, I have like emotional memories and I know exactly where I was sitting, but there's this hallway staircase in my school where I just like, that when I think of this scripture, I think of that place. And it was just like, wow. I don't know if I've ever read this scripture the way that I'm reading it right now. Mm-hmm. When the message that I'm sharing with people is that God's grace is enough, it isn't sufficient, it makes up for when I fall short. That, to me, I was like, that is worth sharing with people.
Yeah.
When the message is that God's power is actually made perfect in not your strength, but in your weakness. Like, people need to know that. And that's just like very different than what we hear in the world. It's like strength means power, right? But here God's saying weakness is where I will show my power.
Wow, let's go ahead.
And when this connected for me, life became less about trying to fix myself or fix other people. And it instead became more about making sure that I and the people around me understand God's grace and our need for it.
Yeah.
And when I got to connect with seeing the importance of this, it really changed the way I experienced my relationship with God, and it changed the way my heart felt with sharing this truth with others.
Amen. Amen. Has this been helpful for you guys so far?
Yeah.
All right, I want to share a quick story here. In 1959, Mercedes-Benz, anyone ever heard of Mercedes-Benz? Anyone got a Benz? Mercedes-Benz in 1959 started doing something that nobody ever thought a luxury car company would do. They started taking their cars and driving them as fast as they could and running them into concrete walls. But as the result of this, the engineers at Mercedes-Benz would come up with this game-changing invention, which we now know is called the airbag. That's what they were testing out. But after this, something even crazier happened than just running expensive cars into concrete walls. What happened is they decided to give away for free the technology that made the airbag to every major car company in the world.
Wow.
Here you go. You got
free?
It. For free. That's right.
Wow.
You know, a national news agency sat down with the lead engineer that invented the airbag, and he asked him a basic question. Why did you take something that took you all so much time, that you invested millions of dollars in, that could have put every other major car company out of business? Why did you take that and give it away for free to everyone? And he replied, because some things in life are too important not to share. Some things in life are too important not to share. Some things that would save millions of lives are too important not to share. You want to know why Paul gave his life to spreading the message of Jesus? Because some things in life, like the gospel, are too important not to share. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Campus, the gospel, the good news, is too important for you and I not to know, but also not to share. You know, and this is, again, why Paul says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. If you want to make your life count, I'm going to keep it really simple for you right now. Know the good news of Jesus and know how to spread it and teach it to others.
Yeah.
If you can do that, your life will change the world.
Yeah.
It will. But it's got to start with you coming to know the gospel and learning it first before you can go teach others it. But guys, it's too important for us to let others know, and even let others twist and misconstrue, for us to not take it and know it and preach it ourselves.
Yeah.
The gospel is for everyone, and sharing it is for everyone. Sharing it is not just for leaders or for people who are in the paid full-time ministry. The gospel and sharing it is a call for all Christians. Amen?
Amen.
For all disciples of Jesus. The biblical reality is that we are all in the ministry.
Yeah.
Did you know that? That we're all in the ministry as Christians. Let's read this here. Paul says in verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us as disciples to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Did you catch that? Amen. It doesn't say he's committed to some Christians the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to us as the body of Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. What does that word mean? Let's talk about that briefly. Reconciliation, to reconcile, to restore friendship or harmony in its simplest form. But specifically for us, it's to help people restore their harmony with God, to be at peace with God. But you and me, guys, we've been handed a ministry, a spiritual work or service from God himself. He has committed to sinners like us a ministry that is changing the world.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? That we're all in this ministry to help people be reconciled to their God,
Amen.
Their Father. And so for you this morning, maybe you're feeling like, yeah, you know, Mark, you know, Hannah, yeah, I do want to share it, but I'm having a hard time. And that's real.
Yeah.
Now raise your hand if you feel like it's just hard to tell other people about Jesus sometimes. How do you start? What do you say? What do you do, right? Maybe you're feeling discouraged in some way.
Yeah.
Maybe you're making attempts. Maybe that's where you're at today. You're trying. And I just want to say, keep trying. Keep learning. Keep trying to figure out, hey, how can I get better at sharing with others about my walk with God and about who God is? But some of us are here today that we're not even trying. We're not even trying to be a part of this ministry of reconciliation. And it's so interesting, right? Because we find it really easy to say, I'm part of the AONYC ministry. But we find it different when someone says, I'm in the ministry. That carries a different weight, right? When someone says, I'm in the ministry, we think, good for you, I'm not. I go to that ministry. And so what I want to make clear to us today is that if you're a Christian, if you're a baptized disciple of Jesus, you are in the ministry of reconciliation.
Yep.
God is saying, I believe in you. And it doesn't mean you have to go be a church leader or a missionary. He's just saying, no, you as a Christian, as a believer, I can use you to help others find the love of God. Amen? And it's okay if you're still learning that, but what's not okay is to leave that ministry for other people when God says, I've handed it to you.
Wow.
This is for you. It says he's committed it to us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's skip. I'm going to skip past a couple things here. In verse 35, let's read here as we come in for a landing. Paul says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So if you want to make your life count, what Paul's saying here as he quotes Jesus, he says you have to put others before yourself. We were talking a little bit about this earlier. You know, if we're being honest, we're fed a narrative from the world. I know we got it's crazy up in here. All right, here are buildings. Just think of it as people saying amen. You know, that's how we do it. Thank you. But if we're being honest, even though this scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive, the narrative the world feeds us is it's actually more blessed to receive, to give to what you want, to you do you, you follow your heart. That's more blessed to receive blessings than it is to bless others. That's the narrative we're fed. And yes, we need to take care of ourselves, we need to take care of our own needs, but we can't be more concerned about us receiving blessings, about us getting all the desires of our heart. We can't be more concerned about that than wanting to bless others. And if you want to live a life that counts, you have to be someone who wants to live this out. To be someone that's excited about giving, about blessing others. And that might just simply look like, how can I be a friendly face today at church? How can I be an encouragement to my coworker? And think about, how can I bless their day? Even though my boss just yelled at them, how can I maybe bless their day right now? Instead of just thinking about, how can I not get yelled at by my boss, right? But we have to look for these opportunities to bless other people, to live a life that's selfless. And so I want to encourage us to think about, let's change the narrative. Let's be people that actually decide to go after blessing others instead of just wanting to always receive blessings. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to pass over to Hannah again here to share more.
Come on, Hannah.
Let's go, Hannah.
So I know Mark shared in verse 24 about his engravement on his wedding band. But I wanted to just share a little bit more about why that means so much to me, because he shared like his personal journey with that. But and I knew that that was like his life scripture, that was his favorite scripture, but it wasn't like it was mine before we got married or before we were in a relationship. So when I learned that that was his favorite scripture, I decided I really wanted to embrace this and make it my life scripture too. So his ring actually says, together. So Acts 20, 24, together. And I wanted our life together to not just be about our happily ever after, but that we get to, at the end of our lives, together, worn out, be able to say that what mattered was our lives testifying the good news to others. And
amen.
To finish this race that is the Christian life. And so when thinking about this passage in verse 35, for me it's like easy to lose focus of like serving other people and giving to other people. It's always been easy for me to be distracted by other things in this world and for my aim to be more built on building a lovely life, a comfortable life, a problem or hurt-free life. But this verse that he read, 35 or 36, I don't know, doesn't really sound like that lovely or comfortable or problem or hurt-free. When I read it, it says hard work, help the weak, and give. And it has to be a conscious decision for me pretty much daily to live my life in the way that Paul describes here, to fight to believe that it is more blessed to live this way than to live in a way that's concerned about myself. And all of these things that I want in life, although they may not be wrong to desire, like I always wanted to get married and, you know, thinking about your career, education, physical health and strength, having nice things, like they're not really, bad things in themselves, but are they really nothing if my life isn't used to bring the gospel and serve others? And so something that tests my heart in this area is when I think about heaven, when I think about eternity with God. Sometimes when I think about heaven, I get sad and scared when thinking about leaving this earthly life one day and what I'm building here. I think, I don't want to go. And for me, that exposes in my heart what is important in my life in that moment. It's a reminder for me, for myself, that I'm not seeing what is most important. And I need to trust and believe that compared to the joys that I get to experience here on earth, they pale in comparison to the joy of knowing God and making God known. And doing that for the hope of eternity with God and being with Him forever. And this is an important heart check for me because I have to remember that, like, what is it to make this life count? What will make my life count? What is my purpose? What is my mission? Yes, God can use these things that He's given me, marriage, career, education, status, to accomplish this person and purpose and mission, but I have to make sure that it is about the end goal, being with God, making God known.
Yeah.
Amen.
And let me just say, man, it's such a joy to do marriage God's way.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Hannah and I got to lay that foundation 2 years ago when we got married and say we're living a life that's about eternity, that as we grow in our marriage, that is such a blessing. And not just in marriage, but in any relationships, to have friendships that are about living a life that matters, those are the best friendships you're gonna find.
Yeah.
Where you're helping each other live for the eternal things and not just the things of this world. Those are the biggest blessings in my life, for the brothers and sisters that point me back to the things that truly matter, that the things of God. You know, I want to share a little bit about Brian and about our Bible studies and doing this together. Brian's like, I didn't know you were going to talk about me. What's up, man? But, you know, Brian's getting baptized today. So cool to see Brian, you know, initially when we started reading the scriptures together, and one thing that he was just really real about is, hey, but before I do this, I really want to build a conviction that I believe in the Word of God.
Wow.
Like, it's from God, it's true, and I want that to be solid before I really decide to give my life to this. So he read this whole book about compelling evidence for God in Christianity, because he was like, hey, I really want this. And he was reading that book as we were studying the Bible. And to see Brian just kind of scripture by scripture with humility say, I want to live a life that counts. Mm-hmm. It's just so inspiring to watch someone let the Bible determine how they're going to live their life. It's amazing. And I just felt like me and Nick and Caleb and Jalen just got this front row seat to just watch Brian, even through some really tough things, decide, you know what? I'm going to humble myself before the Word, because I care more about being with God than anything else. And now, because he's humbled himself before the Word, because he's asked us great questions, sometimes I'm like, let me get back to you on that. I need to go call up a teacher in the church or something. But great questions, just that hard to learn. Because he's had that posture, today he's making the best decision of his life.
Yeah. Right?
To make Jesus his Lord, to receive forgiveness, to be added to God's kingdom. But let that be an example for us. Amen.
Amen.
You know, maybe you're here today and you're still trying to figure things out with your walk with God. You know, maybe this is your first time here today. You know, maybe it's your second or third Sunday. I don't know. But I just want to encourage you, whoever you have a relationship with here, go to them and say, hey, I want to learn about the Word. I want to learn about what it means to live a life that counts. Could we get in the Bible together? Could we learn that together? Because that's why we're here. We're not here because we're perfect or because we're all that. We're here because we're all sinners in need of God's grace.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We're all trying to find the same thing. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. But we all have to decide to humbly accept the Word that can save us. In conclusion, you only have one life, but what will you do with it? Will you decide to live it for God, for eternity, and helping others find Him? Or will you decide to live it for yourself and miss out on the life that God intends for you to have? You know, imagine just for a moment everyone in this room deciding to humbly live our lives for God and spreading His gospel. Look around for a second just at this room, at the people here, right? What could God do with this group? What could God do if all of us decided, I'm going to wholeheartedly commit myself to both knowing the gospel and then spreading it? I think God could change our city. I think God could change our campuses. But we have to decide to do that individually. So let's decide to pursue humility, to continue to dig into the scriptures together. Let's come to know God's grace for ourselves, to let it sink in, and then pay it forward to others. Let's all live out this ministry of reconciliation and learn from one another how to effectively share it and share our faith. You know, and when people ask us, hey, why are you living for God? Why do you keep talking about Jesus? Why is this so important to you? We'll respond by saying, because some things in life are too important not to share. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you got to be the glory.